We have two Bible readings this morning. The first is from Luke chapter 24, verse 1. That's Luke chapter 24, verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. And the second reading is much further on in the New Testament, in the letter of Paul to Titus. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 14. "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good." Amen. This is God's word. The Queen's inspiring message lights up Piccadilly Circus to bring hope to Brits during coronavirus. That was a newspaper headline this week on Wednesday the 8th of April. If ever there was a time for hope, this is it. Archaeologists have dug up first century cemeteries in Greece and Rome and have found many tombstones with the words "no hope" written on them. What a terrible thing to live without hope, and perhaps even worse, to die without hope. I'm going to share with you a hope that is unique, unlike any other. It's the Christian hope, and it's based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I'm going to describe this hope with four words that the Bible uses about it, and I hope to show you that this is the best hope of all, the true hope, the only hope for life and death. The first word I'm going to use is from our reading earlier in Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. It's the word "blessed," or I'd like to use the word "happy," a happy hope. That means it is something we can really look forward to. It is a hope that will be full of happiness. Everything about that future hope will be happy and beautiful. The future God promises for those who trust in Jesus is a completely happy one. In fact, the Bible uses in another place a word that means more than happy, and it's the word "overjoyed." We will be, says Peter in one of his letters, overjoyed when Jesus appears and this hope becomes real. Joy is great, but overjoyed is even better. You see, this hope is not about floating around on clouds playing harps for all eternity, but about a beautiful new world full of love, full of glory, full of God, full of happiness. No more sin, sorrow, or suffering. No more bad stuff of any kind, only good, only happiness, only a world of love. Here's how one book about heaven describes that future hope. No death, no suffering, no funeral homes, no rape, no missing children, no killings, no worry or depression, no economic downturns, no wars, no unemployment, no locks, no pain, no mourning, no handicaps, no arthritis, no cancer, no computer crashes, no traffic jams and accidents, no mental illness, no unwanted emails, no hidden agendas, no backroom deals, no betrayals. Imagine, he says, mealtimes full of stories, laughter, and joy, without fear of insensitivity, inappropriate behavior, anger, gossip, lust, jealousy, hurt feelings, or anything that eclipses joy. That will be heaven. This is a happy hope. The second word I want to share with you that appears in the Bible to describe this hope is the word sure. That hope that I've described sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? Is it just wishful thinking? Is it just pie in the sky when you die, or whistling in the dark? Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith in Jesus is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. It is confidence and it is assurance. It is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This beautiful, happy hope is not just pie in the sky. It's not the kind of hope that is like so many of our hopes. This is not just hope so, or hope for the best, or even hope against hope. It's not just wishful thinking or something we tell people to give them some comfort in times of distress and death. This is real hope. This is solid hope. This is sure hope. You see, there's something underneath this hope. There's something holding this hope up. There's a firm foundation beneath it. That makes it real, solid, sure. We can be sure of this hope because of Jesus, because of the resurrection of Jesus. That's the great guarantee of this great hope, this glorious future, this bright tomorrow. So the Bible says we won't be disappointed, as we so often are, by our hopes in this life. Our hopes for jobs, our hopes for health, our hopes for relationships, for example. This hope is a different kind of hope. It's not just a possibility or even a probability. It's a certainty. It will happen because of Jesus, who the Bible says destroyed death when he died and rose again. And everyone who trusts in him and is united to him by faith will rise again with him. Death will not have the last word for those whose hope is in Jesus, and we can be sure of that. We can be confident because of Jesus, who died and rose again. The third word I want to share with you is the word that we mentioned at the beginning of the service. It's found in 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This hope that we have as Christians, as followers of Jesus, is a happy hope, a sure hope, and a living hope. A living or a lively hope, or a life-giving hope. The meaning is that it's a hope that gives us strength for living now. Despair and hopelessness are lifeless things, aren't they? We want to give up. We want to curl up and die when we feel desperate or hopeless. Hope, on the other hand, restores energy to us. Those who hope in the Lord, says Isaiah, will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. You see a great example of this in the Bible in Luke chapter 24. Two of Jesus' disciples have just been in Jerusalem and they're walking home to Emmaus. It's Sunday morning and on Friday afternoon they've seen their master Jesus being brutally crucified and they have lost all hope. "We had hoped," they said, "but now it's all gone." The Bible says their faces were downcast. They were dejected and they were dragging themselves along the road back home, as you do when you have lost hope. Out of the blue, Jesus joined them, came alongside them, the risen Jesus. But they did not recognize him. In fact, the Bible says, very importantly, that they were kept from recognizing him by divine intervention, so that Jesus could take them through the Bible and show them that the death and resurrection were all part of his plan. That all along the Messiah was meant to die and rise again. And he filled their minds with hope, living hope. So that later on, they said to one another, "Were not our hearts burning within us with hope, with excitement, as he talked with us and opened the scriptures to us?" That's living hope. It gave them a whole new energy then to run all the way back to Jerusalem, a journey of 7 miles. That's living hope. Or as another Bible translation puts it, we live with great expectation, confident, eager, energizing expectation, anticipation, looking forward. That's what hope in the Bible means. It's the kind of hope that lifts the spirits, that brings cheer and strength. The feeling you get when you really have something to look forward to on the horizon. My brother told me that when things are normal, he looks forward to chili con carne and a latte at his local cafe every Wednesday. He says it helps me get through the working morning. Then once I am filled up, I have renewed gusto for the afternoon. Renewed gusto. Well, that's what hope can do. Even a little hope like that. Think of what a great hope like this can do. This living hope. So hope in Christ, Christian hope, is happy hope. It is sure hope. It is living hope. And I want to share one more word with you that the Bible uses to describe this hope, and that is the word everlasting. This is everlasting hope. Back to the letter of Titus, chapter 1, verse 2. Titus, or Paul writing to Titus, writes of the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. the hope of eternal life. And later in chapter 3, verses 4 to 7, again of Titus, he wrote this: "When the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life." The hope of eternal life. This hope is eternal. It's about eternal life. It's everlasting. It's endless. It's never ending. This bright and beautiful future promised to all those who trust in Jesus Christ will never end. What is it we say now about all good things? All good things must come to an end. And that is true now. Again and again, we experience that, don't we? The wonderful holiday, the exciting weekend, it comes and it goes. It comes to an end. But not then, not this hope. Then the good things will never come to an end. In fact, they will only get better and better. In the Narnia stories by C.S. Lewis, like The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, this hope is described right at the end of those seven adventures, those seven books, as the great story which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. Or you might think of the words of Amazing Grace, that last verse of Amazing Grace. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Another 10,000 years, and 10,000 years after that, and on forever. Wonderful, endless days, weeks, months, and years. This is a happy hope. This is a sure hope. This is a living or a life-giving hope. And this is an endless or an everlasting hope. This is the hope we have in Jesus, through Jesus, because of Jesus, all because of Jesus. It's the hope for all whose hope is in Jesus. It could be your hope if you trust in him. And whatever coronavirus may do, or anything else for that matter, in this world, in this life, nothing can take this hope, this beautiful future, this bright tomorrow, away from us. Because nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.